Intention is very important. I'm going to speak to you about intention, because when we speak about authentic power and choice, which is what the theme of this month has been, choice means choice of intention. That's really what we're doing. So, what is an intention? We've talked about this many times. Mm-hmm. An intention is a consciousness that, excuse me, an intention is the consciousness that lies beneath or behind an action or a deed. It's the motivation for it. It's the reason for it. If you didn't have this motivation or this reason or this intention, you wouldn't speak and you wouldn't act. Well, that's important to remember, even if it seems obvious to you, because the motivation, the consciousness with which you speak or act, is that which transforms energy into matter. It's that which brings energy into the earth school. Mm-hmm. It creates your karma. It creates your future. It creates your experiences, the ones that you're going to counter.
Encounter?
The ones that you're going to encounter, the ones you're going to run into.
Yeah.
The ones that are going to find you in your future.
Absolutely.
So, I'm talking about this because intention is so much more important than most people think. Whenever you choose, whenever you speak, it's a choice of energy that you're making. It's not a choice of what you do or what you say, and this is what most people may not understand. What you do and what you say, pardon me, what you do and what you say is a carrier of the energy beneath them, and that is the intention. For example, if your intention is to feel superior, or to be the teacher, or to be the one that knows, or to be the one that's in control, that is what's going to create your experiences. That is going to shape the way that people interact with you. That's what's going to create your karma. And it doesn't matter if the words that you're saying are gracious or polite or complimentary. It doesn't matter if your body language and your manners are polished. That intention is still going to create not the way that you presented the words, and not the words, but the intentions underneath them. And if you understand that, then it'll be so much easier to understand the questions that almost everyone asks themselves now and then. For example, a caretaker might say, why don't people appreciate me? Mm. I appreciate everyone, but no one appreciates me. In fact, I don't like that.
So when you say a caretaker, beloved, you mean someone who's doing things so that their deeds will be something that will make they'll get recognition for it, or they're attached to what they're doing with someone else. They're not doing it just to care for someone. They're doing it because they want something from that.
Exactly. You don't have to be a caretaker to be attached to the outcome of what you do. That's something else. That's the pursuit of external power. And caretaking is the pursuit of external power. It means that you are kind to someone, or you're going over to their house when they're ill every day, or you're feeding the pet, or you're bringing in the paper. But you're really doing it because you want to feel better about yourself by making someone else feel better.
This is such a big topic when we use the word caretaker, because what we're saying is, because sometimes there are people that call themselves caretakers, but it really matters about their intention, why they're doing what they're doing. And we're distinguishing between when someone gives someone else something, when you're caregiving as opposed to caretaking. In other words, if you're giving to someone without attachment because you want to do it because you feel good about it, as opposed to caretaking, which means you're caring for someone because you want to take something from them. You want to have them love you, have them recognize you or something. That's what we mean when we say caretaking, because that can be confused too. I just want to make sure we make a distinction between that.
I hope you understood what Linda said, because what that means is that the same action or the same words mm-hmm. can have different intentions and therefore create different consequences. For example, in this case of caretaking versus caregiving, caretaking is doing it for yourself. It's because you want to, I'm hearing a sound. I hope we can get rid of that. Maybe it's in yours. Oh, here we go. There.
Much better.
Much better. So if you're caretaking, you're doing something but for someone else. It looks like you're doing it for someone else, but really you're doing it because you feel better doing things for other people. You want appreciation. You expect appreciation. It's in your self-image to be someone who's selfless and takes care of other people. But actually, that's part of your intention. And that's caretaking. And caregiving is somebody needs your help and you give them your help. There's no second agendas. There's no expectations. You don't have an attachment to the outcome. A friend of ours, in fact, he's on this call today, he told me a story once when he was jogging in New York City. And he jogged past an old woman who was sitting on a bench in Central Park. And he said, "Good morning to you." And she said, "Drop dead." Well, if he'd been attached to her thanking him or feeling appreciative for his being kind or saying something nice to him, he'd have been disappointed. If he were not attached to the outcome, it wouldn't have bothered him. In fact, in this case, it didn't, because it caused him to laugh because it was so unexpected.
So we're talking about intention again then, beloved. We're talking about someone saying something to someone because they want to, not because they want a reaction from someone.
That's right. So
a positive reaction from someone. They're actually saying something just because they want to do that. And they don't care if a person...
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
Now... So let's not be focused anymore on caregiving and caretaking. That was just an example.
Yes.
To show you that intention is different from the words you use and the way you use them and the actions that you take. Your intention is a motivation, and that motivation is what creates consequences for you. So it's good to know what your intention is, because ignorance of your intention does not save you from the consequences of it. Have you ever heard stories about someone, for example, who gets caught speeding, and just as the officer is writing his ticket, he says, "Do you know what the speed limit is here?" And you say, "Oh, I thought it was 45. And he says, "No, it was 25. And you say, "But I didn't know that. Are there signs posted here?" It's not going to do any good. The officer is going to continue to write, and you're going to have a fine to pay. Because ignorance of the law does not exempt you from the consequences of violating it. In exactly the same way, ignorance of your intention does not prevent you from encountering the consequences that it creates. That's why, to get us back to how we got into caretaking and caregiving, sometimes you can say, "Why is this happening to me? Why should I have experienced that?" Now let's go back to the example I gave earlier. If your intention is to, when you interact, when you teach, when you share, is to be the teacher, to be the one in charge, to be in control, that intention is going to keep people from opening up to you. It's going to prevent them from being, from feeling vulnerable. It's going to put a barrier between you and them. And after a while, if superiority is an intention that you bring into your interactions consistently, you're going to start to feel lonely. You're going to wonder why people don't relate to you as easily as they do to some other people, why they don't laugh around you, why they aren't enjoying themselves around you. And it all has to do with your intention. Well, I won't say it all has to do with your intention, because a lot of it does have to do with them, doesn't it? You don't know what they're experiencing. You don't know what their intention is as they're interacting with you. So all you can know and all that you can choose is your intention. Hmm. all you can do is look at your emotional experiences when you interact with other people. And if they're painful emotional experiences, such as disappointment, frustration, anger, then you know you're in a frightened part of your personality, and if you act with that, you'll create painful consequences. Why? Because you'll be acting with the intention of that part of your personality, and it comes from fear. When you act from a loving part of your personality, you're acting with the intention of that part of your personality. Maybe it's a part that's grateful or appreciative or caring or patient. And that intention creates wonderful consequences for you.
I was thinking about what you said about someone teaching and their intention. So I bet you can even think back when you were in school of teachers who you felt felt superior to you, felt like they were teaching you and they knew more than you did, and that made them feel better. I bet you can think of people in your life like that too, and maybe even you do that. So when you see that in yourself, you can notice it, feel where it is in your body, notice that your intention is to feel better about yourself by feeling superior to other people. You can really notice that in yourself, you can feel it, and you can challenge it. Mm-hmm. So that when you say something to someone, you say it because you want to share it with them, not because you want to feel better about knowing more than they do.
That's a wonderful, wonderful example. I had a teacher in high school, and I just liked being with her. She didn't try to make me feel better. She didn't try to make anybody feel better. And of all things, she taught algebra and geometry, not usually everyone's favorite subjects. Mm-hmm. But there was something about her that everyone liked and everyone respected. No one gave her back talk. No one gave her any trouble. And it's because of her intention. Mm. It was a good intention. There wasn't any defensiveness. There wasn't any superiority in it. Mm. So it's important to recognize that an intention is powerful. A friend of ours once told us, in fact, recently told us, that he used to wait before he acted because he wanted to act with a pure intention. Mm-hmm. For example, an intention that was purely loving. And if he was angry at the time or upset or irritable, he wasn't sure if that intention would be pure or not. And so while he was always waiting for a pure intention, he did that so often that he often didn't act or speak. So he didn't understand the nature of authentic power.
Completely.
And also, and also about what an intention is. So here's the story. Every intention is a pure intention. When you're angry and you're acting with the intention to dominate someone else with your shouting, that's a pure intention. When you're frustrated with someone and you act or you speak in frustration, that's a pure intention. When you're attempting to manipulate someone because you want to get something from them, that is a pure intention. Basically, there's only two intentions: to create with love or creating with fear, to pursue external power or to create authentic power, now that I'm thinking about it. But all of those things that you think that are your intentions are pure intentions.
They're either purely loving intentions or purely fearful intentions.
Exactly. So the question is not, are you going to wait for a pure intention? The question is, which among all of your possible pure intentions are you going to choose? That's the question. And when you choose one or the other of these pure intentions, you create consequences, you create karma, you create your experiences in the future, just as I've mentioned.
I think a lot of people are paralyzed by that, though, beloved, by the fact that they're not sure what their intention is, so they don't say anything, they don't act, they just hold back, in fact, and don't say a word, instead of really feeling what's going on in their body and doing their best to speak from the clearest place they can. I think that happens many times, especially when someone's wanting to create authentic power and they're aware.
Well, if you're practicing emotional awareness, mm-hmm. if you can experience painful parts, painful physical sensations in your body in the vicinity of your energy processing centers, then you don't have to wonder about what your intention is. You know you're in a frightened part of your personality. And you know that the intention of every frightened part of your personality is external power. It's to manipulate, and it's to control, and that's going to create painful consequences for you. So you don't have to wonder, what is my intention? It's to pursue external power. You don't have to wonder, is it pure? Yes, it's pure. Now, while you're feeling angry, or while you're feeling resentful, or vengeful, or craving a drink, or craving sex, or a cigarette, or gambling, or smoking, or while you're finding yourself compulsively perfectionistic, or that you're a workaholic, you are pursuing external power, and it's a pure intention. But at that time, no. If you're acting on it, you're pursuing external power. That's what creates karma. Your thoughts don't create karma. Your thoughts do not create karma. If you're thinking negative thoughts, that means thoughts of vengeance or thoughts of exploiting someone else, then you're experiencing temptation. You're giving yourself, or the universe is graciously giving you, a dress rehearsal for a negative karmic event. But you don't have to bring that karma into being. You can choose not to act on what you're seeing, not to act on what you're feeling, not to act on the craving or the impulse to shout. You can choose instead not to shout, not to withdraw emotionally, not to do the things that you've done in the past when you're angry. You can choose to reach for the part of your personality that's accepting or appreciative. And that's what creates your consequences, even while you're feeling the painful experiences of a frightened part of your personality. And that, by the way, what I've just described, is creating authentic power. That's how you do it. You become aware of what you're feeling. You become aware of physical sensations in your body, in the vicinities of your energy processing centers, crown of your head, forehead, throat, chest, solar plexus, genital area, and the base of your trunk. Usually it's the throat, the chest, and the solar plexus that are most easy to feel. But you'll also often feel sensations in these other energy processing centers also. And if they're painful, challenge them. What's that mean? It means feel them fully. Don't try to deny what you're feeling or suppress what you're feeling. Feel it.
And if you're with spiritual partners, beloved, too, if you're feeling bad, if you're feeling something, you can also say something about that in yourself, to say, I don't want to speak or act from this part of me that I'm feeling right now. I have thoughts of judgment, and I feel pain in my heart, and I don't want to act from this, so I'm saying it to you as a way to challenge this frightened part. You know, if I feel that about someone, if they're a spiritual partner, I can do that. And then I'm saying, this is what I'm plant. This is my process. I'm challenging that right now, so I can come from love. That's a possibility. That's something you could do instead of being silent, completely silent about it, and withdrawing.
Well, yes, that's what we're talking about. Creating authentic power is choosing not to act on the intentions of a frightened part of your personality, but instead to act on the intentions of a loving part of your personality. And our friend said that he often didn't act because he was waiting until his intention was pure. And what I'm saying that I hope will be helpful is that whatever intention you are thinking about, if you act on it, it's going to be pure. But why not act on an intention that's purely loving rather than an intention that's purely frightened? So, yes, you can ask your spiritual partners for help, and you can give help to your spiritual partners, support in their creating authentic power. But be aware. Be aware of what? Be aware of your intention. while you're doing that. Because you can use the words that Linda just said. You can say to a spiritual partner, I'm feeling upset, I have pain in my chest area, I'm feeling judgmental of you, whatever it is that you're feeling. And it's the intention with which you say it that will create consequences. That's what will shape your energy.
So you're saying the intention could be...
Yes.
I could have the intention of trying to manipulate you into being the way I want you to be, or I
That is exactly right.
Right.
Let's stop there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Those words could have the energy of blame, of saying, I'm hurting because of you. My chest area hurts because of you. And I'm telling you this because I want you to know that, and I want you to change. And all the time you're flying the flag of creating authentic power.
Yes.
You're saying, oh no, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just describing.
Exactly.
An internal experience that I know I need to experience and challenge in order to create authentic power.
Yes, I've experienced that in myself and seen it many times where someone who's doing their best to create authentic power is actually, the frightened parts of their personality are using the words and what we're saying as a way to manipulate the people they're talking to.
That's exactly right. And so you'll see this sometimes, and you'll see it in yourself, and you'll see it in others who are learning how to create authentic power. Usually it starts with someone saying, can I talk to you as a spiritual partner? And then, bam, they give them exactly what they don't like about what they're seeing, about that person. They're not really supporting that person because that person may need support. That person may not need support. If that person reacts, that person is in a frightened part. But the other person is not the story that we're talking about now. The story that I'm talking about now is the one that you're the star of. That you're the hero in.
Yeah.
What is your intention? Is it to create authentic power? Or is it to pursue external power? And you can use any word, any action, any facial expression to do either one. Both are pure.
So I think I think we've said some things that will really stimulate people right now, beloved. And I just want to say one thing that we've said to you before, but our friend Maya Angelou said something that I think really kind of sums it up. You won't remember what someone says or does, but you'll remember how they make you feel, how they made you feel. And I think that's really appropriate because it's not the words or the actions, it's what's underneath it.
Exactly.
It's why are you doing or saying what you're doing? Are you doing it from fear or are you doing it from love? Are you doing it to manipulate? Are you doing it for purely because you care about that person and care about yourself?
That's right. She was right on. She didn't use the word intention, but that's what she was talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She said, people will not remember what you said and they won't remember what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. That's your intention. The intention of love allows people to feel good when that energy touches them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people who are in anger or rage or judgment or victimhood may not feel the soothing, nurturing, renewing, fulfilling energy of love. But at some level they will.
Yes.
At some level they will.
Indeed.
But if you're giving that energy because you want to be in love, because it feels better to you to feel the energy of love in your life, in your body, rather than the energy of frustration and anger and resentment, then you're creating authentic power. And you're choosing a loving part of your personality to act from, even when you're feeling a frightened part of your personality, because it's something you're doing. But in the doing of that, you're contributing to a loving world. And that's a big deal. That's a wonderful deal.